This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Presented by FanDuel. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, begins right now.
Here we go on the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351 is the number if you want to get in and discuss the Jags' loss in New Orleans, 38-27, the final score. The Saints go up and down the field for 537 yards today, and the Jaguars sleepwalking early in the game offensively. Caught a little bit of fire in the second half, but it was too little too late today.
JP, that's the thing. Sleepwalking early, both sides of the football. I mean, they're down 21-0 so quickly.
Three drives.
They're not stopping New Orleans at all. The turnover plays into that as well. The offensive slow start. You wonder, look, the numbers are great. Nobody loves football numbers more than I love the numbers, right? I love the whole fantasy angle of it. But, you feel like, all right, you know, what about the meaningful yards, the meaningful points for this football team? You're down 21-0. Well, you're going to be throwing on every down. You're going to accumulate some numbers. And I'm not trying to take away anything that this offense has accomplished this year. When you shatter, they didn't just break. They're shattering offensive records for this football team right now in the passing game. But, you know, you'd much rather Blake throw for 250 in a game that's neck and neck going back and forth, because you can have a little bit of balance.
Sure.
They can't run the ball. We've talked about this. Blake Bortles may set some individual season marks this year that he may not be able to challenge for a while. He's got 35 touchdowns right now. Say he throws a couple more next year, sitting on 37 as the new record. Well, the franchise mark was 23 in over two decades of existence. Now, you know, Blake is a young guy with great weapons around him, but you hope that they invest somewhat or do something to get this offensive line to where they can run the ball more effectively next year. You get a healthy year out of T.J. Yeldon, and you hope your defense plays better so you're ahead in the fourth quarter. You're not constantly throwing. So I think some of these statistical milestones may be getting a little far out of reach by the end of the season. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, and just kind of have some wins at the end. That would be nice.
It would be nice. 179 yards for Blake, by the way. And he will break Mark Brunell's mark for passing yards in a season set back in 1996. Obviously shattering the touchdown mark a while ago now.
It's funny how times have changed in the league. I think that mark for Brunell led the league that year, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe
the yardage
with over 4,300 yards passing.
And today, that's just another year.
Yeah, 4,367. And it's surprising that he had that much yardage with only 19 touchdown passes when you're throwing to Jimmy and Keenan, right? And that's kind of just an anomaly. But they also had a great ground game, and those guys ate up a lot of those touchdowns. The offense was putting up points at a big clip. This one did. They did okay offensively today. The final numbers make it, I think, look better than the actual performance of the offense today.
What do you think the topic's going to be tonight? Coaching is going to be a big topic.
Coaching,
I know it was online tonight.
Defense.
Yes.
And coaching on that side of the ball, too. Because, look, we sit here, and we're part of the Jaguars official broadcast network. We're not trying to hang a bullseye on anybody's head. We know these guys. We see them in the halls every day. We talk to them all the time. They're good people. By and large, great people that they've got on this staff. And you don't want to see anything happening. But I think, look, a lot of people out there feel that there's going to be some changes made. If it's not at the head coach level, that at least maybe the coordinator level on defense, and I don't know if Bob Babich is a scapegoat or not. He's running Gus's defense, as I talked about this week with Jeff Logman and others, they suggest Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union say, look, if you're going to go out swinging, go out taking control of that side of the football, whether it's the final couple of games this year, maybe being more hands-on for Gus Bradley next year. Because, with this record you're carrying, unless you turn it around next year, and it's quite possible that they do, you're not going to get another head coaching opportunity anytime soon. So if you have a belief that something's not being done the right way, and I'm not saying he does, but don't go out with any, bullets in the chamber. Fire everything you got. I'm using every metaphor I've got here now. You know what I'm saying? If you're a defensive guy, make sure that you did everything to put your imprint on that side of the football that you possibly can.
Part of that, though, is Jimmy's and Joe's as well. There, and we know that's going to be a huge emphasis this offseason in free agency and the draft and beyond.
Oh, there's no question about that. And, you know, I mean, look, who knows? Maybe Dante Fowler wouldn't have been very good, right? We'd like to have found out, right? He couldn't have been worse. He would have had to have helped the pass rush. But to what degree, JP? He's one guy.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie. Right now, I think you take heart. And what you see what Khalil Mack has done in his second season in Oakland, came into the week with 15 sacks, leading the National Football League. Maybe Dante Fowler over the next couple of years can have that kind of impact as well, but wasn't out there this year. But he alone, even if you put that guy on the defense, it's going to help because it's going to draw double teams, which is going to create openings for other players, and you're going to generate more pass rush that way. But one guy – give him J.J. Watt, give him Khalil Mack, give him any one guy you want. It wouldn't have been enough for this Jaguar
That's
defense
fair.
This year.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get out to it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 is the number if you'd like to get on board. Understand it's the holidays. We're down in between Christmas and New Year's right now. But, Jag fans, you're in the playoff hunt until today. What were your feelings about it going into it, knowing that Houston had whacked Tennessee? And, you know, how did you approach this game? How did you feel about the performance or lack of performance from the Jags with one game to go? What are you hoping to see from your football team in the final week of the season? Let's start with Saqib, who's there. Win or lose, and unfortunately too many losses for the Jags this year. Hi, Saqib, how are you?
You know, seeing us down 24-0, whatever, I'm kind of used to it. You know, seeing us lose a lot, Mike, you know. But the thing is, this defense makes me sick to my stomach, right? Like, there's just, to me, it's been not just this game. It's been the Tennessee game. It's been a bunch of games this year that this defense cannot do anything right. And I'm just, like, frustrated as a fan seeing this guy just get – I mean, it was first down at 30, okay, and we cannot stop it. First down at second down at 21, and we can't stop anything. I mean, it's not right. A fourth-string running back comes in and gets 130 yards. Like, it's really bad, and I hope to God that we get a bunch of defensive players in the free agency. Please, Shaqon, please, I'm begging you, give us some more guys on defense. Thank you, guys.
Thank All you, right. Saqib. You know, Shaq will sign anybody. He'll spend the money to sign anybody they pick. He's not going to be the one picking them. I think that that plea should go in Dave Caldwell's direction, but I understand your point there. He's right about that. JP, it's first and 30. Okay, they pick up 9. Okay, because it's first and 30. You're like 9 yards. It's still second and 21. Boom, Cooks over the top of the defense. It's not like it's third and 1 and everyone's up at the line of scrimmage and you got one guy slipped out behind you. You can't give up that play. Now, that's one play in a season, as Saqib laid out, a season of big plays allowed. Tim Hightower was nowhere to be found on that depth chart at the beginning of the season. They had Mark Ingram. They had Kyrie Robinson, both of them gone for the season. C.J. Spiller, he was basically a healthy scratch
inactive,
today.
Yeah.
Sean Payton said after the game that he's been dealing with some stuff that he's been dealing with since training camp, but he wasn't on the injury report this week. They decided not to play C.J. Spiller. They went with a guy who hadn't been in football for basically 3 years after blowing out his ACL, and a couple weeks ago he carried it 28 times, but he only managed about 80 yards. You know, it was a low yards per carry guy today. Was able to do whatever he wanted to. And I get it. Telvin Smith's out. Jared Odrick goes out. There are injuries. There are all these things. But, you know, look, you can say that about the Saints as well. They've had their share. And today they played like a team that at least offensively, you're surprised that they weren't more of a playoff contender than they were. That's how bad their defense, has been this year. Absolutely.
That the offense is doing this. Second best, one of the best offenses in the league with one of the great quarterbacks in the league. And they've only got 6 wins.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's a team that really that was the more disappointing thing to me is that for the most of the first half, couldn't do anything offensively against what has been cumulatively maybe the worst defense in
the
league.
Fired the coordinator weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, that's where they were weeks ago, and that can it's hard to make that go back uphill once you fire your coordinator midway through the season.
355 NFL-1. Let's go out to Johnny on the west side. Next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
All right, thanks.
Listen, I guess maybe I'm crazy here, but I'm really have a positive spin on the whole year. I mean, everybody at the beginning of the season talked about 6-10 being such a great record, but now that we're sort of staring that in the face, it's it's not so good anymore, but we made huge strides on the offensive side of the ball. We locked in Derek Marks. You know, we never had Dante Fowler. So next year is going to be a whole nother offseason of these guys growing together for the most part, recognizing there'll be some guys lost to free agency and such. But I'm happy.
All right, hey, look,
overall.
Johnny, I don't think you're crazy to feel happy about it. You're a Jaguar fan that's looking at the bright aspects of this, and there are plenty of them, JP. When you look at Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, and hopefully TJ Yeldon, that's a great set of skill position guys that you've got coming back. Telvin Smith, Eric Holden, maybe young rising stars. You get Dante Fowler back. Hopefully you get Derek Marks back healthy. There are reasons to be optimistic. I'm not saying that, but when you talk about people saying 6-10 would be a great record, I don't think people were saying, well, I think they'll go 6-10 and that'll be great. But a lot of people, myself included, predicted 6-10. But what you couldn't see was, well, you're going to play Atlanta when they're reeling. They've won one game out of their last eight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to play the Bucks with a rookie quarterback when they're coming off a beatdown. You're going to play Matt Hasselbeck a couple of times. You're going to play a rookie quarterback in Tennessee. You're going to look at all these different things. You're going to play a backup quarterback with the Buffalo Bills. Now, you took advantage of that. You won the game. But so many things fell into place for the Jags schedule-wise this year that this 6-10 feels a lot worse than a typical 6-10. This 6-10 feels more like, honestly, like 3-13. If they get to 6-10, they're 5-10 right now. But whatever they end up being, you know, this year an 8-win team in the division feels more like a 6-win team in the division. The division just wasn't very good this year, so I think that's why people are saying, you know, look, I understand, you know, the record may be where we thought it would end up, but we didn't think the season would play out in the Jags' favor so much with so many great opportunities.
You have expectations at the start of the year, but expectations can change, right?
I mean, absolutely,
and they have for a lot of fans because of how this season has gone.
Well, you play back to back San Diego, 2-win team who just got rousted the week before, worst loss in Philip Rivers' career at home. You play the Titans,
right,
who are a 2-win team.
Absolutely.
You play all these teams that were significantly worse than you expect them to be. Even the Saints, as bad as they were defensively, a big step back from what a lot of people thought they would be coming into this year.
But they're 5-10 right now. That's what they are.
That's what they are. Right.
That is what it is.
Right.
Look, and it's not good.
And look, again, I think Johnny is probably not alone out there with his enthusiasm, but I think for me it's tempered just because of the way things played out.
If you incur emergency flood damage at your home or business, don't sit on the sideline. Call the team the Jags trust, Surf Pro of Arlington and Surf Pro of Jacksonville South at 721-2230. Like it never happened. We'll take more of your calls when we return. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. Jags fall today 38-27 to the New Orleans Saints. Saints are 6-9. They've got their own issues this upcoming offseason, with a quarterback who's going to cost a lot of money.
$30 million cap hit next year.
A head coach that may or may not be there.
Says he wants to be. What else is he going to say?
I don't know. Who knows? And that's an ongoing story that'll dominate some of the headlines in the offseason. The Jaguars at 5-10 have defensive issues. That's going to be step number one in this offseason.
Big time. Fix the defense. I'm with Fred. Some attention needs to be paid to bringing in some competition on the offensive line. I'm not saying you spend a top 10 pick to, you know, replace Luke Joeckel, but somewhere along the line, you've got to do a better job. They're not protecting Blake well enough, although it's better than it was last year. And it's really showing up in the running game, JP. They're just not moving enough people off the ball this year.
Yeah, that definitely showed up when Linder went down.
Absolutely.
That certainly changed
and getting
everything.
It back is going to be great, but, you know, you've got to be able to adapt. It can't be one guy goes down on the offensive line and your ability to run the ball goes out the window with him, you know. Let's get to it. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Steven on the east side on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Steven. How are you?
Oh, very well. Thank you. Thank God for Jesus. Hey, listen, I thank God for the Jaguars, too. And I just want to congratulate the Jaguars. Just like the man the talking just now, he said that they're doing better than they did last year. See the progress. See the enthusiasm. Everything is really, I think, is shaping up. I didn't call in to badger them because I see it, and the encouragement that Taylor and yourself is putting out, you know, it's coming together. It's coming together. We're a lot better than we was last year, you know. So what you think about that?
All right. Well, Stephen, thank you for the call. I think they are better, JP. The question is that good enough, you know? And I think it's good enough. I think, again, you and I have stated this many times. It's not our decision. We think Gus Bradley's back as the head coach here. So, ultimately, the question is it good enough for Shad Khan? Has he seen enough improvement?
What's your definition of better, I guess?
Right.
That could be different for a lot of different people.
The record is better. That's one thing, right? I think the quality of play is better on offense, particularly. The ability – last year, and we've referenced this many times, you get down 10, game was over,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
You weren't going to come back and – not going to be able to score a couple second-half touchdowns. Now, you don't want to get down 21, but you feel at least if the defense could get some stops, this offense can catch up and score.
They were down 24-0 today, and early in that second half, you're back within two scores. I mean, it's a, 11-point game.
Yeah,
if you don't go for
stops.
Two, and it could be closer than that, I mean, you're right there if you can have some defensive play.
All right, Stephen, thank you for the call. Keep the positive thoughts going, I suppose.
Yes.
Let's go to Leo in Mandarin next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Leo.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, too, and, let's not forget that head coach and that quarterback we played have hoisted this Super Bowl trophy. I mean, you had to expect they were going to come out and get theirs. I mean, I'm glad Fred said what he said because, I've heard on radio the last few weeks that, we got 8 picks and get all defense. But, yeah, I'm saying center. Definitely, Luke Jokel, I've been sold on him, but I've been quiet about it. But I think he's a good run blocker, but – yeah, his pass blocking, I think, is a little suspect. But, yeah, I think you should at least spend 2 picks on a couple offensive linemen, definitely tighten up the defense. Maybe Gus Bradley needs to change his defensive scheme. But I'm going to tell you this. Yeah, I'm not with the Gus Bradley fire yet. Give him to next season. I'm saying next season at this time, we need to be in the hunt, dog. I mean, we need to be right there in the wild card hunt, 8-9 wins, 10 wins. We need to be right there. I mean, the offense looks really good. They've improved a lot there. And I think you keep all those pieces, add some on the offensive line, get the defense tightened up, change that. And I'm going to tell you this. I have seen this in the last couple weeks. I don't know why it's taken all season, but I saw it today. A couple guys over the top coming over with the over-the-top help. I've seen them make the adjustments. But I just don't know why they haven't been doing this all season long. But I do see some little changes that they've been making, but too little, too late type of thing. I hope they win this week. I don't know if Houston looks hungry. They look like they're going to want to try to, put the nail in the coffin. But it'd be nice to see Jacksonville beat Houston. Like Fred said, division win, go out on a winning note. It'd look real good. But they're going to have to play their A game. You can't come out there soft in the beginning. You got to come out and play your A game. And you guys have a happy holiday, man, or have a good week. I'll probably talk to y'all before the new year.
All right, Leo. Thank you. Also, one comment about center. Look, all this – free agency is going to happen before the draft, obviously.
Yeah,
one guy that will be talked a lot about is Alex Mack, who they signed to an offer sheet a couple years ago, made the Pro Bowl again this year if he opts out of his deal in Cleveland. So, all this is – we're just in pure speculation mode, obviously, when we talk about the draft because, ultimately – I think they like Luke Jokel more than the common.
I think Luke Jokel is your left tackle
perception, right? I do. Yeah. But that doesn't mean JP that whether it's Josh Wells pushing him in the offseason or something. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to spend a first round pick on a left tackle, but they can't just be satisfied with what they've seen from the offensive line this year. It's been better, but it's been marginally better than it was last year, and the running. The run blocking may be worse than it was last year, quite frankly. So let's get James in Orange Park in here before we break. James, you're on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, 2 quick comments. One is I think we've all lost so much here. I'm a huge Jaguar fan, will be. My kids will be. We've lost so much that 5-10 is an improvement. That's like being the tallest midget. Secondly, Gus Bradley's message is very clear. It's about improvement. They said that at the commentator said that. He doesn't talk about winning, whereas you'll hear New England, and I'm not making a comparison, Tom Brady said when we lose, our quality of life is not very good around here. That's a professional athlete that is basically preaching what he hears all the time from Belichick. I'm that fan now that's not mad anymore. I'm indifferent. I love the team. I go. I was at the Falcons game. I wasn't upset. I was like, we lost again. And I quite memorized what Gus Bradley's going to say. Oh, we're working on this. We're working on that. So I think the fans here have gotten beaten up so badly that 5-10 is, we have some optimism. This is optimistic. I mean, 24-0 against the Saints, that's the worst defense in the league statistically. And we scored 6 points. So when I look at it like that, that's not much of an improvement to me. And I got news for you. The Ravens aren't going to be this bad. The Colts aren't going to be this bad. The Texans are going to keep upgrading. Andrew Luck will be back next year. San Diego's not going to be a dumpster fire. And we've lost to these teams. So anyway, I'll take it off the air, and I appreciate what you guys do. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you for the call. Couple things, starting with you know, look, I agree. Your perception when you lose so much, you so much hold out for hope that I do think there's a percentage of the fan base that is grasping at, you know, Blake Bortles and that young offense for optimism. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. We were talking about this on the break, JP. You know, Gus Bradley is Gus Bradley. He's going to be who he is, right? But who he is a guy that when they lost to Indianapolis on a couple of missed field goals when they should have won that football game, he said, what a fun game to be a part of. That falls on deaf ears at best with a fan base that's tired of losing, you know. And then finally you get around to the Atlanta game and he says, well, you know, this one really stings. Well, to the Jaguar fans, they've all really stung. And they've stung for 3+ years. I mean, well beyond before Gus Bradley got here. But in his tenure, you know, they've all stung to him. And I know he focuses on the process and not the outcome. And I'm not saying that's a bad way to do it, because he's got to be who he is and he's true to himself. And I think that is why players respect him, because he doesn't change his ideology on a whim and he doesn't let the, you know, the moment change who he is. But when you're not, I think that's a great attitude to have. When you're Pete Carroll and you're winning a bunch of games, you can be Mr. Carefree and focus on different kind of aspects. When you're losing, I think it's something that rankles a lot of people in the fan base.
But that said, Gus is not going to change his way. He's got to be consistent. That's Gus Bradley. He wants to be the consistent, at least public face. Now, behind closed doors, that might be different. But in a public place, in front of a microphone, he's not going to change that.
I'm not arguing with you.
And that's who he is. And that's how he's going to be. He's going to present it the same way each time. And that's the way it's going to be with Gus Bradley. And I think that's part of the reason why the team responds to him, right?
I agree with that, but I think it's also part of the reason why the fan base gets irritated, because they want, at a certain point when fans are knocking over their drink cup at the end of a game, they want somebody to knock the podium over, even if it's not something that doesn't mean that's going to make you win the next week, but they want to see that anger. They want to see more anger and not just acceptance. Hey, there's another great learning opportunity for us. What have you learned from the previous 9 losses that you should have learned at this point? I mean, what was unique about this one? Too much wasn't unique. Slow starts, poor defense, falling behind early, all these things.
You know what I think they've learned over the last 8-9 weeks?
What's that?
They need some better defense. That's what they've learned.
I think we've all learned that.
I think they've learned, and I think they discuss it, even though you may not hear it in a public setting. We'll take a timeout on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. More of your calls coming up, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. The Jags fall 38-27. One game active, of course, Sunday Night Football. Right now, the New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings, no score. That game is just underway in Minnesota, a few minutes in.
Yeah.
In the cold.
It is very cold, it appears. Don't know what the temperature is, but there's a lot of chill in the air up there, Minnesota, as you would expect this time of year.
There's a lot of chill in the air here in the fan base today.
In the fan base? Well, you know, I actually think, considering 5-10, been more positive than I expected in the
early
going.
You
might
want to stay off
here.
Twitter right now.
Well, that's a good point. The Twitter people have long since given up calling the post game show for the most part. I think that's fair to say, and you're right about that. There are different avenues to express the way
there
you
are
feel
phone
about
lines
Jags.
Open if they want to change their tune.
355 NFL 1, good or bad or indifferent, whatever you feel. Let's go to Derek in Mandarin next up. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about our coaching staff and our GM. I think they're a tad bit stubborn concerning our draft picks, because Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, if I'm studying film, there's a couple guys on defense who, for my opinion, get beat often. Cyprian, Gratz before he got pulled. And if I'm a fan and I can see a guy consistently getting beat, I know they see it. And I think our draft picks have been on defense have been we need more picks. We made a lot of offensive picks, so just not enough at bat, so to speak. And obviously I think next year we're gonna need a lot of at bats on defense, and we gotta hit on some quick.
Gotta hit on a lot.
Got
to hit on a lot of them, not just some. Got to hit on a bunch of
them.
Well,
I mean, when I qualify that by meaning some, I mean hit three home runs. Three all-pros. We need some all-pros. We got maybe one. Pug is a nice player, but he's not an impact guy, you know? Pro Bowl.
Well,
big play.
Right. I mean, he's not a big play maker. He's more of a tackle guy, a typical inside linebacker. He predates this regime anyway, you know.
Yep.
So it goes back. But look, they've had a couple of hits, but not enough, right? Telvin Smith is clearly a hit. He didn't play today. Aaron Colvin's a hit, in my opinion. He didn't play today. Dwayne Gratz was not active today. So, you know, look, but when it comes to Cyprian, well, maybe Sample would have been a hit. He's hurt. You don't have a whole lot of options at this point in the season as far as throwing guys out there.
That's why Nick Marshall's playing right now.
It is going to be a tremendously important offseason for Jonathan Cyprian's career, which direction it's going to go, JP, because he has been bad in coverage this year. He had a couple of game stretch early in the season where it looked like he was playing some of his better football, and then since then it's, you know, been more negative than positive.
Let me throw this by you. Just throw it out
all right
there, just for the hell of it. Not great in coverage this year, Cyprian, right? You said that.
Correct.
But great close to the line in the box, right?
So you're suggesting what, make him a linebacker?
Could you make him a linebacker?
It's been suggested before, but I think your issue is you've got two undersized linebackers, right? Telvin Smith is never going to be the biggest guy in the world. Could you make it work?
Could Sip put on weight?
But here's the thing. I don't think to the degree where he's going to look like your typical linebacker. You can get away with it. Mark Barron, for instance, has been playing linebacker for the St. Louis Rams since Alec Ogletree went out for the season. He went on IR, and I think he went on designated to return. But the point being, he was, you know, along with James Laurinaitis, their top two linebackers there, pretty reliable guys, big play guys, tackle guys. Mark Barron moved from strong safety, where he had struggled in St. Louis, up to linebacker, and he's performed very well. So maybe it's possible, because I don't think Cyprian and Barron are that much different in size. You know, I don't think it's ideal, obviously, and it may be more something that for Cyprian to consider, because it's not going so well right now. But who knows, if you had that Earl Thomas type free safety on the back line, he could play more in the box and play more to his strengths, maybe it wouldn't be as much of an issue for Jonathan Cyprian.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But the bottom line is, as the first pick of the second round of your first draft for Dave Caldwell, the arrow is pointing more down than up, I think, on Jonathan Cyprian. I'm not saying he's still young. Doesn't mean his career's over with, but there's been more negative play than positive play with him over 3 years. He should be better than he is, in my opinion, at this point in time.
I agree with that, yeah.
Let's go to Darren on the west side.
I think he agrees with that.
I think he probably does. It's time to play like that. I mean,
that's
year
right.
Four is going to be the deciding factor whether he sticks around here in Jacksonville or not, quite frankly. Darren, on the west side, you're next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I guess, guys, I know the team has drastically improved this year, and, I call in quite often and congratulate the team. But, this week stinks for me because it's kind of like, it's like these five or six games this year where we've played the elite quarterbacks, and it just seems like at times that we don't have a defensive scheme. And it just seems like we're just running around chasing our tails at times. And that's the frustrating part. It's like the same old song, same old dance. We get the offensive fixed, and we're really starting to come together. We got a young team, and I'm very excited about next year. Don't get me wrong, and I know we're going to make a lot of joy. But it's just like this year, it's that was the frustrating part today. It seemed like we were just running around chasing our tails, and it seemed like there was no defensive scheme. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Guys, have a great day.
All right, thank you, man.
Breeze can do that, obviously. That's the frustrating part, is that it's not the first team that Breeze has torched. But that said, I mean, this has been an issue a lot of the year.
There's a scheme. It takes exceptional talent up front to execute it at a high level.
They don't have that.
And they don't have that. And so I don't know if this scheme is a good fit for what they have, but I think their belief is, we believe in the scheme, we're going to stay with the scheme, and we're going to weather the storm, and we're ultimately going to have the players in place. And what happens to JP, as you know very well, as guys get hurt throughout the course of the year, you play more young guys like Nick Marshall, right? You play different guys who are being put in spots that they're not used to being in, then you get a circumstance where you got to be more vanilla, because these guys don't understand the broader concepts of the defense. They're being asked to play in different positions. And I'm not saying that's the case across the board, but all it takes is one or two guys to be in that position. Who was the corner? Is escaping my mind right now. He had to play safety early this year. Hadn't played safety.
It was Marshall, wasn't it?
No, somebody else. Who was it, Tony? Who am I thinking?
Peyton Thompson.
That's exactly who it was. Right, cornerback brought in the midst of a game to play, I think it was free safety. And they felt like they couldn't do anything exotic at that point because he wasn't up to speed. He was being asked to play completely out of position. And if you're going to try to get more aggressive and do these things, you're going to leave him even more isolated, the guy who doesn't know the position he's supposed to be playing. So I'm not saying that's been the reason every week, but those are factors that this late in the season play into it a little bit as well.
Yeah, you're right. No. That's all I got. You're always right, Mike.
I'm not always right.
Yeah, you're sometimes right. 355-NFL.
I'll take that.
1-355-6351. More of your calls coming up. It's the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
Time for the injury report, presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A couple of notables banged up for the Jags today. Jared Odrick, defensive lineman, a knee contusion, leg whipped by a teammate during the game early, and a big part of the run defense was out today. No word on the severity of that, but he did not return. And Jeremy Parnell in the third quarter, a hamstring strain. He did not return either, and of course we'll watch T.J. Yeldon's status this week, if they dare put him out there for the final game of the season. And Telvin Smith, what happens with the weak side linebacker for the Jaguars this week heading into the final week?
Yep.
We'll see.
Right, and you know, all it is speculation, but I don't think they're going to put anybody who's not 100%, why are you pushing them in Week 17 at this point in time?
Yeah.
Let's go to Nick in Arlington up next here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Nick.
Oh, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Basically, I was going to talk about the Jaguars overall. There are some ups and downs, in my opinion. Just overall, are you concerned that Gus Bradley could get fired if the Jags lose next week? But I just don't think he should. I just think there has been a huge goals and stuff like that that's been good so far. I think Gus is a great coach and a great personality. I would hate to see him to go. That's all I
gotta
say, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call. You and I both said we think he's coming back next year. That's not a decision we make, though, but we, you know, as John Osier put it, and I think he's put it well, you get the sense in the building when the change is imminent, and you haven't had that sense whatsoever when it comes to Gus Bradley. So I do think he is back next year. I don't know if Gus is a great coach, JP. He's a great guy. But his record indicates he's yet to earn the moniker of a great coach. He's a coach that gets his players to play for him and not quit on him, but that hasn't translated to very many wins.
That's the great debate, right? Is it at the end of the day, it's yes, it's going to be the record, but consider where this thing started, right? That's the argument a lot of people will have, and that's the fight right now between the fans and the fan base.
That's one way of certainly you can look at it, right? You can argue on both sides of that, right? I mean, in the end, if the Jags lose next week, Gus will have averaged a 4-12 record for 3 years. And he's already the first coach in the modern NFL to get a third year after winning only 7 in his first 2 seasons. And so he's already in uncharted waters in terms of not, you know, where a lot of owners probably wouldn't have been this patient. I understand the situation here. I think we all do. That doesn't mean that every Jaguar fan is as patient as the organization has been with Gus Bradley at this point in time. Appreciate the call, Nick, and coming down to the wire here.
Yeah, we'll take our final timeout and come back with a few final comments from today's game. 38-27, the Saints over the Jaguars in Week 16. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
Final moments of the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Jags fall 38-27. The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hackers coming up next. 641-1010 is the number there. You can get in with those guys, and I'm sure they'll have some interesting thoughts about the game coming up as well and the impending offseason. It's coming quick.
It's coming quick.
Here it is.
It's almost upon us. We got one more game. I'd like to see this team finish, you know, with a victory, if for no other reason than, JP, as you said, if Cincinnati wins, we believe Houston may have clinched the AFC South.
By
right?
The sixth tiebreaker is what we read tonight.
Right, like so, the strength of victory, strength of schedule,
I think,
tiebreaker,
would be
right.
The one. So that's if Cincinnati wins tomorrow, by the sixth tiebreaker, the Texans would have already clinched the division before next week.
And at which point, if you're Houston, who are you playing? Because you're going to the playoffs the next week. You're already playing your third-string quarterback this season. So, you know, they've gone from Hoyer to Mallett. Mallett then turned around today and beat Pittsburgh with Baltimore, but they had Brandon Weeden in there, who Tennessee had no interest in playing any defense against that team today.
The choking dogs.
Or any offense, for that matter, either. They were the total choking dogs.
Not that it mattered on the back end.
No, you're right. It didn't, but I would have liked it, you know, more to be in the Jags' hands and have a chance to see what they would have done under that circumstance, but might have just made you feel that much worse. At least you had the sting taken out of it early in that regard today, if that's
true.
That's the way, one way to look at it, I suppose.
Hey, by the way, this season when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs.
Didn't happen.
Bad news. No field goals of that.
No attempts today. Nope. No, very few kick attempts today at all. Not even the extra points. Just
had
the
to
one.
Go for two. Yeah,
that's right.
So that'll do it for the FanDuel Scoreboard Show, and it'll be an interesting week around here again. The final week of the regular season in 2015, and the next time we talk to you on this air for this program, it will be 2016 already.
Good working with you this year, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll do it one more time.
One more time
next
for the
week.
New year.
How about it? We'll look forward to it.
All right.
All right. Great. For Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. The fifth quarter show is next with T-Wig and Hacker. Thank you for listening to the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.